Thank you, Richard. I'm going to share something with you before I get into my sermon. Something that happened to me, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago when I was I had finished up 2 years of Bible college and I was a youth minister at a church just south of St. Louis, a town called Arnold. And actually, it was a quite large church. When I say large, they averaged between 1,000 and 1,200 people a week. It was just, it was huge. We had four pastors. And God was dealing with my heart about leaving the church. I was a youth minister. And I thought maybe I wanted a pastor. I wasn't 100% sure what the Lord wanted to do. But I went to the pastor and talked to him about it. And we set a date when I was to leave and everything. And one of the obligations I had was to go on a choir tour with the teens. And the youth group was a huge youth group, between 60 and 80 kids. That's like junior high, high school, and college and career. It was just huge. And so we went to Arkansas and went on a choir tour. We sang at different churches, gave them a chance to minister and everything. And the plan was I was going to come back and give my resignation. But what happened was the pastor went ahead and resigned for me. And he didn't give me a chance to say my goodbye. And when I got back, I was not only angry, but I was very hurt about it. And you know what to do. I know about maybe 3 months ago, maybe 2 months ago, someone in a prayer meeting said, I want to request prayer for Faith Bible Fellowship because there's just a little bit of unkindness going on and I'd like to see the Lord, you know, work through that. And so we began to pray and we began to after that, I just became real burdened. I didn't know any circumstances or what had happened, but I just felt real burdened about it, you know, because somebody had got offended and they were angry, just like I was in that situation. And so we decided to see if the congregation would go along with it, that there's a 12-week series called The Bait of Satan, and it has to do with offense. It has to do with people getting offended and either getting away from God or leaving the church or things like that. And that you're going to be hearing more about that. But I'm going to finish my story. I got back and we had a couple of weeks and I wasn't really attending the church anymore because I was already resigned. And so I went to, I prayed about it. I had a lot of time to think about it while I was on choir tour, what to do, you know, and it just seemed like the Lord just spoke to my heart about going back to Bible school. And the Bible school we wanted to go to was in Springfield, Missouri, and they had a mobile home park, and we owned a mobile home. And so we were able to pull our mobile home from Arnold, Missouri to Springfield, Missouri, and I was able to take two more years of Bible school. But when I went to Bible school, I was still very much hurt, and I was still very much angry at this pastor, very angry at him. And after a couple of months of being at school, well, actually, we got there in July, and school didn't really start until September, but had a lot of time. I had to find employment and what have you, and I was one of these students that didn't have the luxury that my parents could pay for my education. I could go to study hall all the time. I had to work, you know, help pay the bills. My wife had to work. We all had to work and take care of these things. But one night I had a dream, and I know you can't put a lot of stock in dreams because sometimes you can have a nightmare from just eating too much pizza, you know. And in this dream, I dreamed that I was a honeybee, and I was gathering this honey, and this pastor that had offended me, his name is Pastor Brown, and I don't mind sharing that with you because you don't know him, and he's deceased now. He was also a honeybee, and he was gathering honey. And in my dream, I turned on him and killed him, you know, I guess because I was so offended over everything. And then I woke up, and it was almost like the Holy Spirit said, you know, you might not agree with what he did to you, but he's still spreading my gospel. You need to love him. And I didn't know what to do except just say, "Oh God, please forgive me. Show me what to do." And at that time, I had this was a 2-year period. I told you that after some time in Bible school, but I'm kind of remembering back myself. But it was actually when I finished my 2 years and I had received my Bachelor of Arts degree in ministry. And I sold my mobile home to another student that was moving in on campus, and this mobile home was paid for, so we had some extra cash. And it was just like God said, "Why don't you send him some money?" And I was thinking to myself, I'd like to send him something, but not money, you know. but I did. And I talked to him on the phone, and I asked him, I said, "If there's anything at all between you and me, I just want it to be forgiven and everything." And it was just like God just took that burden right off of me and relieved me. And that's the way that I dealt. I'm not saying you have to deal with an offense that way, but that's the way that I dealt with it, and the Lord took care of it. And so I would encourage you that even if you're... One of the things they say in these series that I thought was interesting, they say sometimes we're offended and we don't even know it. We don't even know that we're struggling in that area. But if you've been hurt or you've gone through something, I would encourage you to participate in the series. And we've talked to the elders about it, and we had several of us that got together last Tuesday and talked about it. And we're going to talk to you about it because we want to try to have it at a time when everybody can attend without spending a lot of time. But it's a 12-week series, and there's a lot of different things we're going to talk about. So you'll be hearing more about that. And so, anyway, I want to stop with that and get into my sermon. But the title of my message is Leaving Behind, Casting Aside Our Most Precious Priority, Our First Love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege, Lord, of being able to come to know you, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, as we share this word, Lord, that a seed could be planted into the heart of your people and to my heart, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, not to lose that first love or leave that first love, but to be reunited in that first love, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read that scripture to you again, but I want to read it in a modern, easy reading. I have a Living Bible, which when I study, I use my King James Version, and I use my concordances, and I study that way. But I like to read the easy reading because sometimes, even though it's not a translation, it kind of breaks it down a little bit better to understand it and be helpful. But it says in Revelation chapter 2, verses starting with verse 1, "Write a letter to the leader of the church of Ephesus and tell him this. I write to inform you of a message from him who walks among the churches and holds their leaders in his right hand. He says to you, 'I know how many good things you are doing. I have watched your hard work and your patience. I know you don't tolerate sin among your members, and you have carefully examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but aren't. You have found out they lie. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Yet there is one thing wrong. You don't love me as at first. Think about those times of your first love, how different now, and turn back to me again and work as you did before, or else I will come and remove your candlestick from its place among the churches.'" I know many of you remember the actor Michael Landon. This goes back a long ways. But he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and liver cancer, and he ended up passing away. It was terminal. But 10 days before he died, his children had made a book for him of different things to give him to kind of comfort him and help him. And one of the daughters said, "Dad, is there anything that you would like for us to do that we haven't done?" And he said this, and I thought it was profound. He said, "Yes, just love one another." That's so powerful, you know, that we love one another, that we have love one for another. A number of years ago, my oldest sister had a heart attack and went to a coma and ended up in the hospital, and she wasn't expected to live. And I did not know what to do. I got the phone call while I was at work, and it really upset me. But I called this town where the hospital was in Alabama and talked to a pastor of a church. And I said, my sister is in the hospital in intensive care, and she's not expected to live. Could you please go see her and pray with her, and maybe she can come to know you, because I don't think she's a Christian. I'm worried about her. And he said, well, we're going to do better than that. He said, we have a prayer chain in our church. And he said, in about an hour, there's going to be 50 people praying for your sister. And 2 or 3 hours passed. I called the hospital again to check on her, and my brother-in-law said, would you like to talk to your sister? And I said, yes. Anyway, I had a chance to talk to her. She had come out of the coma. This man had led her to the Lord. And this is what she said. She said, please pray for my family that they will know Jesus. And I just thought that was so profound, you know, that she had that in her heart. And that was one of the miracles that I witnessed as a Christian. And just a couple hours later, she slipped back into the coma and she went home to be with the Lord. So I was not only comforted, but I knew that she knew the Lord, and that just made a big difference to me. It was a blessing to me. All right, he said you left your first love. You know, relationships are like checking accounts, believe it or not. You got deposits and withdrawals, and so many people take withdrawals, but they don't put deposits in there. And as a result, the account becomes defaulted or bounced or whatever, and I've been guilty of that, where I'd love to take the withdrawals and not put anything back into it. And there's 5 things that I briefly want to talk to you about this morning that deal with leaving our first love. And the first one is spending time with our Lord. The second one is listening to our Lord. The third one is doing what our Lord wants us to do. The fourth one is loving our Lord with deeds and actions. And the fifth one is loving the gospel and others. The first one is spending time with our Lord. I remember a period of time in my life when I was in the Teen Challenge program. There was a young pastor by the name of Steve Rosner. And as a teenager, he was a believer. And every day as he waited for the school bus, he walked and prayed. How many of you have ever walked and prayed? He did. He would walk and he'd pray and talk to the Lord. And he had literally worn a path around the trees where he would walk, because he had about a 45-minute wait before the bus got there. And he would talk to the Lord about everything. Just was real close to the Lord. And several months passed by, and he noticed that the weeds had grown up on the path. And he said, the Lord started dealing with him and said, you know, you're not walking and praying no more. And then the Lord dealt with Steve, and he got back into coming to know the Lord. And what I'm trying to say is it's important that we spend time with the Lord. I don't know how you do it, but the way I do it is I get up early in the morning. Usually I'm at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, so sometimes I get up 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not asking you to do that, but that's the way I do it. And I have a quiet time at my dining room table with the Lord. And a lot of times I have written out my prayers to the Lord. I have made a list and prayed about them and talked to the Lord. I have prayed on the way to work, which is going to Blackstone is a distance, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And so I'm not asking you how to do it, but I spend time with the Lord, and I'm asking you and encouraging you to spend time with the Lord. And I ask you the question, are you spending time with the Lord? It's very important. Jesus talked about the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And Martha was really upset because she was trying to prepare this dinner for our Lord and for the disciples. And she was upset because Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. But the Lord said to her, Martha, dear friend, you are so upset over these details. There is really one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her. And so she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just trying to soak in as much as she could as he talked. I remember the night I got saved. All I wanted to do was just tell people about the Lord. It's just that joy was inside me. And somewhere along the line, that joy waned. But I remember one time, I used to talk to people on the street that I didn't even know. I always kept these tracts with me, and I'd witness for the Lord. And I remember talking to this young man and actually praying a sinner's prayer with him. And then about 3 years later, a guy came up to me and he says, "Hey, do you remember me?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "I just got back from Bible school. You remember out there in front of Dunkin' Donuts, you prayed with me and I asked the Lord to come into my life. I didn't even remember it." But it was just such a joy, you know, that to do that. And you know, one of the biggest things that we can have as Christians is to love one another. And we'll know that we are Christians by our love, the song says. You know, that's an earmark of Christianity, is having love one for another. Tenderness, kindness, concern. So we must spend time with the Lord. I think that's important. Second thing is listening to the Lord. Sometimes God will speak to you. You'll feel something down in here. I remember when I first became a Christian, there was this feeling I always used to get. Read your Bible, read your Bible. So I went, I talked to my pastor. I said, "Man, the devil's giving me a hard time." He said, "The devil, how's that?" I said, "Well, he's always telling me to read my Bible." I said, "That's not the devil telling you that. That's the Lord telling you that, you know, read your Bible." I didn't know. I couldn't recognize what it was. I didn't know. But I remember a professor in college when he was a young Christian, and he was driving a school bus for extra income before he got into teaching and stuff like that. He said it's Friday afternoon. He's driving 65, 70 miles an hour, wanting to get home because that night him and his wife was going to go out and have a date. And he said all of a sudden he just felt something just overwhelm him. It said slow down. And he said he wasn't about to slow down. He wanted to get home. And so he's just rolling along, and all of a sudden this feeling came over him again: slow down. And so he, instead of arguing with it, he slowed down. He slowed down to maybe 40 miles an hour. And as he was going around the curve, there was like a three-car pileup. He said the Lord knew that that pileup was there. If he'd have been driving 70 miles an hour, he might not have been able to stop. And he was so glad he listened to the Lord. So the Lord don't always speak to us that way, but he does speak to us that way. Like, he'll put a little feeling in us. And that's why we have the Word of God to go by. Because if somebody tells you to do something and it don't match up to that Word, then don't do it. Because that's, you got the Word. The Word is like a dipstick. You know, a dipstick in a car, you can pull the dipstick out and you know exactly how much oil is in that car. You know it. You know, that's what the dipstick is for. And I had a brother-in-law that he had no common sense when it came to practical things. He worked on big, sophisticated machines, but he would let his car seize up because he never checked the oil in it. You know, just, you know, that's what the dipstick is for. It's just pull the dipstick out, and if it needs some, you put some in it, or needs to be, if it's dirty, you need to change it. And that's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is our road map. You know, we can listen to the Lord through our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can listen through the Lord with the preached Word. But listening is very important, and sometimes I'm afraid we don't mean to, but we get so busy with life that we shut God out. And it's so important that we listen to what He's saying to us. The third thing I want to talk about is doing what the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes it's just simple. A lot of people are afraid of this because they're afraid if they start doing what the Lord wants them to do that they might have to end up in Africa or something, or end up, you know, around the world or something like that. But sometimes it's just so simple, just doing what the Lord wants us to do. And there's a song that was sung by a guy by the name of Matt Kennan that's called "The Call." And what the song is about, it's about a young man that was going to commit suicide. And it's also about a a young girl that was going to have an abortion. And before they could have it do it, they received a telephone call from someone. You never know what a telephone call can mean to someone, or what a visit. I went by and saw a lady the other day that's 85 years old. She's a widow now. She's a Christian. And we just sat there for an hour and just fellowshipped, and I prayed with her. You just never know what these things mean. It says in the book of James, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. And but I want to read this to you. I thought it was very good. It's called The Call. Today was going to be the day. He already wrote the note and parked that Chevrolet at the end of that dead-end road. Had his finger on the trigger, just about to end everything. He was taking one last long breath when he heard his cell phone ring. And his best friend says, man, where you been? We're headed down to the lake this weekend. You better not miss it, because, buddy, I swear it won't be the same if you ain't there. And I told that girl that you like so much, you're coming along, and her eyes lit up. I better let you go, man. I really hope I didn't catch you in the middle of anything. He said, you kind of did, but I don't mind at all. I'm glad you called. In another town down the road, in the back seat of a car, two 18-year-olds had let a kiss go too far. He said, what are we going to do with this child when we're both headed off to school? He convinced her late one night, there's only one thing to do. She was scared to death, and in that waiting room, when the nurse asked, how far along are you? She said, 5 weeks. And just about then, her phone lit up, and his call came in, saying, baby, I was wrong about everything. I've already bought you a diamond ring. We're going to start a new life. Would you be my wife? Boy or girl, pink or blue, yay, either way. All she could say as she felt those tears falls was, I'm so glad you called. If someone you know is weighing on your mind and needs a friend on the end of that other line, don't hesitate. What you say may seem so small, but who knows? They might be glad you called, so make that call. Yay, make that call. So we need to do what the Lord wants us to do. Just, if the Lord is dealing with you about something, don't close it out. Just do what the Lord wants you to do. And the fourth thing I want to talk to you about is loving our Lord with deeds and actions. James chapter 1 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and forgetteth what manner of man he was. I want to read you something that I thought was interesting. It's kind of a play on words, but it's called, that's not my job. Have you ever talked to somebody and asked them to do something, and they said, well, that's not my job? That happens sometimes at the plant I work. Well, that's not my job, you know, that's not my job. But this is a story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. So I just encourage you to just do what the Lord wants you to do. Do what the Lord wants you to do. And the last thing I want to talk to you about is loving the gospel and one another. And when a person loses their tenderness and caring towards one another, they're put in the same category as the church of Ephesus. See, this church was so perfect. I mean, they could detect false apostles. They worked hard for the Lord. The Lord recognized all this. If you read it, there was a whole list of things that they did. But the Lord said, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. And the first love is something that you don't get impatient about doing something for somebody. You go out of your way and do it. I want to read you something from a scripture, if I can find it. Bear with me. I got so many notes up here. Oh, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A lot of times you hear this at weddings, but it's profound. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all heaven and earth, but didn't love others, I would be only making noise. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, and I would still have nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel but didn't love others, it would be of no value. So it's important that we do have this love in our life. And there's two things that separates us as Christians from any other religion. One is our love for one another and the fact that we believe in the resurrection. If you go to the tomb of Buddha, you're going to find the remains of Buddha. You know, if you go to any great teacher, you're going to find the remains. You go to Jesus' tomb, you're not going to find nothing because he arose from the dead. And we have that to believe in. That's the gospel. That's the good news. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again the third day and accept him into your life, that's the good news. That's what we have. I got one last thing I want to read to you. I'll actually just tell you the story. There was it's called The Blind Skier. And it's about a man that was on a ski slope. And he noticed that people had this orange, reddish patch on their back that had some words. You couldn't see what it said. And as he got closer, it says, this skier is blind. And he was amazed with that. He was thinking to himself, now how are they? I'm having a hard enough time with my two eyes skiing. How are they skiing being blind? And what he found out was they had a chaperone, someone that went along with them. They listened to the clicking of the skis, turn right, turn left, a skier's coming, stay to the right. And that's how they done it. And the whole lesson on this was that we listen to the Holy Spirit. He'll tell us what to do and how to go. And so, anyway, lost my train of thought. Let me just read it because I think this says it better than what I'm telling it. I'd like to relate to you a story as told by a writer named Peter Lord. He says, while skiing in Colorado, I noticed on the slope some people wearing red vests. On getting closer, I was able to read the words on them, blind skier. This both gripped and puzzled me. I had hard enough time skiing with two good eyes, and here were people with no eyes skiing successfully. How did they do it? I had to find out. The answer was that each one had a guide whose instructions instructed the skier, trusted totally a guide who gave simple, specific instructions and directions. The guide skied beside, behind, or in front of the blind person, but always in a place where they could communicate with each other. I found out that there were two basic forms of communication. The guide used the tapping together of the ski poles to assure the blind person that the guide was there, and the speaking of simple instructions about what to do next. Go right, turn left, stop, slow, skier coming up on your right. The only responsibility of the blind skier was to exhibit complete trust and immediate obedience to the instructions. After finishing this story, Mr. Lord says, God has given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide through life, to walk with us, to talk with us. Our only responsibility is to listen and obey. Dear friends, we can't listen to and obey God unless we're spending quality time in His presence, sitting at His feet in prayer, meditation, reading His Word, hearkening to His still, small voice. In other words, holding on to our first love of Jesus. Now, as I close in prayer, I'd like for us to stand, if you would. And would you please just grab your neighbor's hands, and I'm going to pray for us as we dismiss, as we close. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, and You're so good to us. We're so grateful, Lord, for all Your many answers to prayer. Lord, we just pray that You would just help us to have kindness and love and gentleness towards one another. We pray, Lord, that You would protect our congregation. Lord, our first year of our beloved pastor's death is coming up, Lord. And we miss our pastor. But we pray, Lord, that You would just help us to bind together and to love one another and care for one another and to, Lord, to watch out, because we know the enemy of our soul would like to rob. He would like to kill us and destroy us. We pray You'd protect us and be with us. We love You, Lord, and we ask You to help us to have that first love once again. We've lost that first love. If we've wandered away, help us to come back to that place, Lord, of loving You like we did at first. We love You and we thank You. Now, Lord, we pray that You'd be with each one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.